Welcome, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone and thank Tim Canale and the Creekview staff for hosting us tonight. Right now, I'd like to call to order the February 18th, 2016 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers is absent. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, before we begin our meeting, I would like to acknowledge the recent passing of our Director of Child Nutrition Services, Joanne Morbitzer. If you'll recall, back in 2014, our board had nominated her as an exemplary school employee, and she was then recognized by the Central Region of Ohio School Board Association with that award. Joanne was a great leader. She led by example, and her service extended far beyond the walls of our district. So at this time, I would like to stand and recognize a moment of silence for her. Thank you. And now, if you'll remain standing, we will say our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Let's see. Next up, accept a motion to approve our agenda. Was that me? Who was the motion? Mr. Pleasant motion and second by Mr. Luke. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve Amy Connolly as the Classified Employee of the Month for December 2015 and Christy Rausch for the month of January 2016. I'll make that motion. Second by Mr. Smith. Okay, you don't get it.
Neither one of them could be here this evening.
Okay. Brian, you want to just pass those down here for a second, and we'll get the signatures later?
Okay.
Neither one could attend this evening, but I'll read their highlights.
That's right. We'd like to hear about them.
And then we'll deliver them to them.
Okay.
Amy Connolly is from Office Aid from Navin Elementary. Amy Connolly has served the school district with much enthusiasm, dedication, and commitment. She deserves the recognition of Employee of the Month because she always goes above and beyond what is expected. She treats every parent, child, and staff member with respect and care when they enter the office. She greets them with a smile, and our students can count on Amy to give them their morning hug straight off the bus to start their day. Amy covers all duties that are given without complaint. Amy, among the millions of things she handles in a day, she is on top of our daily attendance. Sometimes challenging, she handles the phone calls with care, consideration, and keeping the best interests of the child in mind. And then Christy Rausch is at Mill Valley as the library aide. She has a very lengthy one, so let me hit some highlights. Christy always has a smile on her face and is willing to help out whenever possible. Very flexible when the library is needed for meetings, especially for the book fair. Due to Mill Valley adding more staff, we didn't have an empty room for the book fair, so she had it all set up in the library. She made the best of it and still made the library time fun for our students. Also, when we are short on subs and need extra coverage for other duties, we can always count on Christy. You'll always find Christy at the end of the day making sure that every kid that rides a daycare bus is there and on the correct bus. She's organized and knows exactly who rides which bus and their schedules, even if the student is a rider that only rides a couple days of the week. Every morning, our morning news is delivered live by 2 fourth-grade students, and Christy makes time in the morning to review their news with each student to make sure they are comfortable before they go live. So congratulations to them both, and I'll deliver them.
Okay. And in case they listen to
our
show, I think they deserve a round of applause. So, with that, then, could we have a roll call?
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Next up, looks like we have a presentation from Creekview Intermediate.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to present, and we're excited to host. I wanted to talk a little bit today about a tool that we use to customize our student learning. and a process that we engage in as we review assessments. So I'm going to start the presentation with that. But really, the second part of the presentation, we're going to have Emily Latham present on some really cool things she's doing. So if you take a look at the monitor, one of our goals, our district goal that's aligned to our CREEQ goal, increasing student performance by providing a personalized education for students. So we have this tool available to us called SchoolNet, and it's an assessment tool, but more importantly, we're able to put our students online to take assessments that we make here at the building and get the results of those assessments immediately. Take the data from those assessments, work together as departments, learning communities, and differentiate our instruction, target our instruction. And we're excited about this process. We believe that this process is allowing us to really move our kids forward, both through remediation and enrichment. So just a real quick video we wanted to show you. Really excited with data. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but being able to look at results from an assessment used to be Excel spreadsheets and hours and hours and hours of work, and teachers not being able to see what other teachers are doing in their classroom. Now we have this tool, and at the push of a button, we're able to really make some informed decisions about how we meet the needs of our kids. So, wanted to share that. That's in line with one of our objectives. But really, the superstar here is Emily Latham. You know, we opened this year at an administrative retreat, and we were really charged with studying our level of staff and student engagement. And we've been talking with our staff and providing PD and discussing, you know, what student engagement looks like and what engaged teachers look like. And Emily is a second-year teacher with us, and I will tell you that every time we walk into her classroom, there are amazing things happening. A level of excitement and energy and enthusiasm that we don't always see with our young teachers. So she is a superstar now, and I'm really, really excited to watch her career unfold. She's done some really good things with community partnerships and certainly some great things with our kids. We're really proud to have you in our building. We wanted to give you an opportunity to shine. Emily Latham.
Thanks. So I did this project this year, and actually, it's really nice. I'm from Marysville. My parents are from Marysville. My grandparents are from Marysville. So one of the things I love about Marysville is the fact that, like, the board and different community members want to be a part of the classroom. And so I did this math project. And actually in the fall, so In the fall, I had some of the board members and different community members come in to talk to my kids about how they use math in real life. And that was one of the goals of this project. So the kids worked in groups in their own businesses and had to come up with an item that they were going to market and then eventually sell. The kids got to choose their own groups, and they got to pick what they made. We do something really cool called Class Dojo. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but the kids earn points for good behavior, or they lose points if they're off task. So their dojo turned into dojo dollars, which they had to buy items to make their products. So everything was kind of geared towards math, since that's what I do. And then here's kind of the timeline of when things happen. So like I said, in the fall, I had some community members come into my classroom and talk to the kids about how they use math. And like I said, 3 out of 6 of the board members were able to come in and talk to the kids too. And then they spent a big chunk of time creating their products and making their products, and then we had a sale day. And some of the items the kids came up with, and I just thought I'll share them with you guys, and then if anybody wants to look. But they came up with some really cool things, and like you can see, it's all stuff that's made from things like that they could find everywhere. And actually, Sue was really lucky. She happened to be touring the building during sale day,
yes.
And we gave her own money, and she was able to buy.
Yes, I've got some stocking stuffers for my kids. So,
and it's just funny things that, like, fifth graders think are really cool. So, like, this is made out of a toilet paper roll. But their goal was that they could stick a cell phone. I know my cell phone's not going to go in there. Stick a cell phone in, and these are speakers. They can make your phone louder. So just fun things like that. One of the hot items was Bob's Pigs, which was like a Minecraft pig that they built out of these boxes. And they sold out pretty quickly. But and so then what kids are doing with that is I'm having more community members come in, and they're going to be judging the kids. But they're kind of making science fair boards and talking about the entire process of what it's like to run a business, what math they use. And things like that. And one of the things I thought was really neat that the kids talked about was one of the things that they learned the most was that running a business, you don't always get along with your business partners. So they, like I said, this is one of our boards, but and then in the spring we're actually taking 2 field trips. I applied for a grant and we got $1,000, and we're taking 2 field trips. One is of downtown Marysville, so they're going to get to tour the different businesses in downtown Marysville, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the reasons I like Marysville is that, like, every place that I emailed to ask, hey, can we tour your business, they said yes. The kids are really excited about WITS. I'm also excited about WITS. And then they don't know yet, but we're also going to be able to go to the zoo. One of my teaching partners has a connection at the zoo, so they're going to get to see how the zoo is run as a business. And then they're also going to get to see the animals. But yeah, so it was a really cool project. The kids had a lot of fun with it. This is the grant that I applied for and I got. And like I said, we got to buy materials and things like that. My husband was really excited that we didn't have to use our own money to buy the boards and things like that. So it was a really cool project and the kids had a lot of fun.
I know when you talked about that Butte grant, I see Eric Phillips from our Chamber of Commerce is here, and Butte's actually a part of our local Chamber of Commerce. So it was nice that a local entity was recognizing some of our superstar teachers and the programs that they're working on. So.
Yes, and that's much appreciated. Mm-hmm. And actually the...
Honda puts a lot of money in that program.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's like 4 people from that grant board that are coming in to be the judges. So I think that's really cool too. They're like, I don't want to say like big wigs, but like, I mean, they're important people in the community that are willing to come in and listen to my fifth graders talk, and not every fifth grade board looks like this. You know what I mean? So and,
right.
and they'll give everybody the time and stuff. So I think that's really cool.
High student engagement, bringing math to real life. We're just really, really proud of the work that Emily's doing.
I wondered if you felt that your kids in that class did feel like math is relevant to real life after the project. That's one of the things you hear sometimes about math that mm-hmm. you don't need to study. Did they get a sense that you actually can find all that useful?
Well, especially like when we got to decimals. They did pretty well in decimals. And I think one of the reasons is because they had to, I made them keep a checkbook sheet. Now, will they have checkbooks in 20 years? Probably not. But they had to add everything, and they had to line up their decimals, and they had to, they could see that that was real-life applications. So, yeah, I do think that they have a better sense of, when you guys came in, you talked about how you have to use math every day.
Well, I tried to. Some of the questions they asked were unexpected.
I know the feeling.
They asked me how much money I make.
Oh my gosh, that was the biggest question. I told them they weren't allowed to ask that question.
But it was really fun, and I really liked the idea of the project. I could see they were engaged.
Mm-hmm. And those were some of my favorite parts when they would ask the questions. Like somebody came in from the hospital, and he was talking about like how he runs the business, or the hospital as a business, and the kids kept asking, my grandma was in the hospital last week. Do you know her? You know what I mean? Things like that, which is cute.
So. Well, Emily, certainly any time you build relevance into your lessons, we know that rigor, relevance, and relationships matter, right? So certainly you've done a great job in all three of those categories, building relationships and ties to our community, relevance and understanding for our students. And certainly you're showing examples of rigor into that. So no surprise. Certainly we felt lucky to hire you a couple years ago. And I'm certainly proud of the things that are happening.
Thank you.
And we appreciate being invited, too, because it's so much fun to come in and see things happening right in front of your eyes and watch the excitement in the kids' eyes and stuff. I'm looking forward to coming in and judging in March soon. And I also want to point out that not only are you making the math relevant, but by including all of these other parts of it, you're bringing in, language arts and mm-hmm. a little bit of marketing and, just kind of that whole business concept. So it's wonderful.
And if anybody's free March 18th, we need more judges.
The other thing I would add, Mr. Canale, certainly we've been doing a lot of data meetings and talking a lot about curriculum since my time here. And certainly kudos to you and your staff for the stride you made this year in reference to the report card. Since I've been here, it's the first time that you've met all the indicators as a building. Yep. And it's a reflection of the work you're doing.
Well, and our teachers collaborate. Mm-hmm. We get results. So thank you for recognizing that. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
I noticed in reading your board notes this month, I think it's from the past month, but you were talking about the peer observations across the grade levels and how important that is and just the sharing of best practices. And
when we can get together in a room and look at data and teacher mm-hmm. A says to teacher B, how are you getting those results?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, come visit my room and I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful and impactful.
Yeah.
All done.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Not sure. Did we have maybe? I don't know. Parent House signed up for public participation or not?
No sign-ups.
None. Okay. Nope.
I'm sorry. We got dogs. We got to take
care. It's quite
but
all right.
Thank you for letting us join.
Oh, you're always welcome. That's right. You don't need permission to leave. Okay. Thank you. And now we see nobody signed up for public participation. Just kind of want to double check. Would you like public participation? You can sign up before you leave, but go ahead and state your name and rank, please. No. No. You can sign up after you talk, Pam.
Oh, I can?
Yes,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to talk now?
Yes, is that you were wanting to address the board?
Yes, please.
Okay,
if
sure.
We may.
Okay. And I think you know our rules,
yes.
So it's okay, great.
It's been a long time. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
My name is Pam Klaus, and I have the privilege of serving as the Vice President of the Marysville Coral Boosters.
I'm Becky Williams, and I have the privilege of serving as the President of the Coral Boosters.
So we're here tonight just to support a proposal made by our vocal music education teachers, asking you to consider hiring an additional vocal music teacher next year. And in doing so, I just want to throw a few numbers out at you. For 2016-17, There will be approximately 120 students in 7th grade choir, 130 in 8th grade choir. Women's chorus will have 100. Men's chorus will have 35. We need to work on that one. Women select 75, symphonic choir 90, music theory 50, and another 20 in AP music theory. I was excited to see a couple of our music students over here. You guys are skipping out on show choir. Our goal as a Boosters organization is to make sure our teachers are successful in the classroom, and we have two phenomenal teachers.
We do.
Libby and Katie Silcott and Libby Heiner have done a phenomenal job and have been very creative in making sure that they offer as much to our students as they possibly can. I think we can all agree on that one. But they do have a problem. They cannot teach as much as they want to, even though they've been very creative. When you have a 100-to-1 ratio, it's kind of difficult. So we're here just to support them and ask you to help them grow the program, because we do think the program will continue to grow. But with growth, we also want to make sure that the quality of the program improves. So that's why we're here. Our teachers do not want to limit the kids, and they feel that with an additional faculty member, they can do so much more. And we're excited for that possibility.
No, I just think our vocal music program has stood on its own here and brings in students and families to our community just to be part of that. So our teachers have done a fantastic job, and we'd like to continue to support them to help it grow even better.
Thank you. Okay. That's all we have. All
right. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Please consider it seriously.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay, next up we have a superintendent's report.
All right, I just have a few things to hit on. Wanted to let everyone know that in May, we will be, April and May, completing a community survey. So with the last survey we completed was 12, I believe, December 2012, 13, mm-hmm. and that beginning of 13. Really, it will be a phone survey to random selection of community members in Marysville. We've contracted with someone who will put that on. So Paul Fallon will distribute that. We had a phone conference with him last week and kind of worked out the details. We'll be asking questions from a program stance to money decision stance to satisfaction kind of stance. We'll also be asking some questions, knowing in 2018-19 we're contemplating asking for new money. We're asking people their input about types of levies they would consider. We have had some initial feedback that there are certain groups interested in looking at maybe an income tax type thing. So we're trying to get feedback so that possibly in the summer then we can sit down and hold a work session and really talk about millage, what we're interested in doing as far as the type of levy we would put on and those type of things. So that's how we'll be using the feedback from that survey. So it'll be a random selection. They have their statistical analysis that they'll provide to make sure they have a sampling cross-section of the community as well. So we'll get the results of those probably be by the beginning of June, I think was the timeline. Okay. And we'll be able to review them at that time.
Okay.
I don't know. You might remember the last one.
Yeah.
In general, the feedback at that time, and it was right around the reduction time, mm-hmm. was the community in general had the feeling that we were doing a pretty good job, but that we could still continue to make cuts and not jeopardize the quality of education. Mm-hmm. So really that's one of the questions embedded in this survey, comes down to quality of schools and taking schools from good to great, mm-hmm. and the interest in supporting a levy that would do that.
Great.
Also, we're very excited. EdWorks, which you know we have worked with at length with some of the STEM initiatives we've done, K-12, has offered us the opportunity to be involved in a competency-based education pilot starting next year. The pilot will start with the early college high school and Navin Elementary School, and then we'll look to extend district-wide. We will be one of three national in the nation. There's a school from Oregon, a school district from California, and Marysville that will be involved in the pilot. We're having a meeting next week to work out the details and timeline so I can share with you more after that, but we're very excited to be a part of that. Really, we talked competency-based a couple times throughout the year, but to bring you back to that, it's really the idea of if you could map out all this science learnings from kindergarten to high school, only don't put a grade on them. It doesn't say you have to learn this in kindergarten, you have to learn this in first grade. It says these are the things you learn in science. And then you start to cluster those things together around competencies and the different ways students can show that they can do those tasks or those learnings in different ways. So, for example, you may have a language arts project that also encompasses science material, that also encompasses math material. And just because you're in first grade doesn't mean you couldn't be working on level 5 science material if you're ready for that. So it goes back to what Tim was kind of talking about with creating personalized learning. It's really another movement towards putting kids into competency-based education as opposed to a grade-level concept. So we'll have more coming that way as it rolls out, but we're very excited to take part in that as well.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
How did they choose the districts? Did you have to apply for that?
Since we already had a relationship with them,
right.
They
right.
had applied for a federal grant and asked us
right.
to take part in that.
Okay.
We did not get that federal grant, but they were able to secure funding in another location, so they're going
right.
to move forward.
Okay, great.
The high school and early college high school have presented to 8th grade students. Students are currently involved in course selections and choosing which school they will attend for next year. We've also had our College Credit Plus meeting. So that's underway, and certainly I think there's been much more collaboration between the early college high school and the mm-hmm. high school in that initiative, so that seems to be going well. And as well, Kathy and I have been asked mm-hmm. to present in Atlanta, Georgia, at a national conference, I think I shared with you last month, in March, talking about early college, high school, dual enrollment, College Credit Plus, and kind of the Marysville story from where we have been to where we are now. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing that, I think it's March 6th and 7th, if memory serves me correctly.
That's
it.
That's great. All right. Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
First off, just to give you a couple updates on our state funding. With the most recent state budget, there were a couple items added that we just received one of those. There was the graduation bonus, so we did just receive that. That was just under $76,000. And we had projected that to be around $70,000, so that came in slightly ahead of our projections, so that was good news. The other provision that they added was the third grade reading bonus, and they've stated that we should probably receive that in March. We're projecting that to be about $66,000, so we'll see how that comes in. And the most significant change with our February, that actually just came out today. They've updated our state foundation funding with fiscal year 16 enrollment for open enrollment students. So that was a big change. If you had been following the cash flow, our other revenue line had been kind of lagging behind, which is because that's where we're projecting our open enrollment revenue to be. Up until this point, we'd been funded for only 10 students. While we actually have about 42. So with this upcoming payment that will hit our bank tomorrow, we'll now be funded on 42 students, so our funding will go from about $56,000 up to about $250,000. And again, that's going to be about $14,000 over our projections for open enrollment revenue, so that's good news. And it's especially timely because at the same time that they're updating our open enrollment, they're also updating our open enrollment out numbers. So those numbers increased as well. So the number of students that are enrolling out to other districts increased by 11 students to 185. So that number increased from just under $1 million to $1.066 million. So it really is very fortunate that the open enrollment in was introduced this year to help offset that increase in the deduction. And as always, the community school deduction, that really changes almost every month. There'll be ins and outs that'll change, but that actually went down by 3 students. And that number went down to 795,000 from about 830. So that's a positive change. Overall, with these changes, the bottom line increased by about 160,000. So that's a good thing. These just came out today, so I haven't had time to plug these into the actual projections. I think it more just puts us back into line with the projections. Not to say that that's a big jump over our projections, but just really puts us in line with where we expected to be. Any questions on that? The other item for the treasurer's report, you'll notice on the treasurer's action items, there's the economic development incentive policy. There's been some revisions to that. So Eric Phillips from the Chamber of Commerce and Steve Stolte from the county are here to present some information on that. So I'll turn that over to Eric.
Thank you, Tom, and board members as well. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you this evening. And I want to first say that a few weeks ago, we had a company looking at our community, and I thought it would be a great idea for them to see the early college high school. And it turned out to be a snow day, and Diane and Kathy drove all the way down from Marin, they have to come in anyway, but came down and met us there and took us on a tour. I learned yesterday they want to come back and see the early college. They were so impressed with the early college high school, they want to see it again. So they even went to Marin and looked at site at Marin, and they went to see Ramtech because they really love the early college, so they got to see both. But they want to come back and see both here in a month or two. So that's very exciting. So I'll let you know about that, Diane. So thank you for opening the doors at Early College High School. It's a great, great tool, I think, especially when the company's going there and they're so jealous of the equipment that is actually in the facility. But thank you. Sorry to digress a little bit there, but it's somewhat related. So the Economic Development Incentive Policy is a document we approved back in 06. And the goal was to find a better way to collaborate and work together and partner on economic development incentives. Prior to that time, it was kind of no joking matter. We had to wait for this, the white smoke to come out of the smokestack before we actually knew what the incentive would be for the company. So we did an economic development strategy back in 03. One of the recommendations was to collaborate better with the schools and the local governments to make certain everyone's on the same page, to come up with some type of strategy to deal with businesses, to make it more of a fluid process instead of an obstacle-laden process. And so we went to the drawing books and got some examples out there of what other communities have done. And so we decided to make this start out large to see what we could do, and it was a great effort. We have 4 school districts, the 4 main school districts, North Union, Marysville, Fairbanks, and John Alder, and then the county, the city of Marysville, Richwood, and Plain City. So we had 8 original partners that said, let's work together on incentives and have the same set of incentives for companies looking to locate within Union County. I would think it's probably the only example in the state of Ohio, one of the only examples in the state of Ohio, when an entire county comes together to talk about economic development incentives. And so that was approved back in 06. And then now we've added Mill Creek Township. We've added Jerome Township. We would like add some of the other townships as well to the incentive policy. We also wanted to take a deeper dive and look to see where we are, 10 years later, and look at what other things we could improve on. One was there was a strong feeling that our thresholds were too low. It was $35,000 per job, and we think that they should be $50,000. We should have higher thresholds. And so that, in a sense, would require a company to have employees that are going to make $50,000 a year, for example. And there's some higher ones for bonuses and so forth. So we raised some of the thresholds for that. We raised the payroll amounts as well, thinking salaries have gone up, and did that. And then we also updated some of the other, cleaned up some other items in the document. The basic stuff remains. There's still a formula to determine what those incentives are going forward. It also encourages tax sharing between the school districts and the city when there's an income tax, sharing all the taxes collectively. That was in the original document as well. But it's been a great process. I think we've had quite a few abatements since that time period, and working with the school district on various ones, projects as we go forward. We hope to have more projects. In a perfect world, I would prefer not to see any incentives whatsoever. but we're competing with not only other communities in Ohio, we're competing with other communities in the nation and internationally. And so it's a competitive marketplace. Incentives are part of the ball game, and we got to play with the ball game, play in the ball game. I will say, however, a number of the other communities in Central Ohio straight up offer 15-year, 100% abatements. You know, we, you'll see in this incentive document, it recommends no incentive to go above 75% or 10 years. And if it does, there's a payback. There's what we call a pilot, payment in lieu of taxes, that is made as part of that company, as part of that incentive agreement. So we encourage that in those documents. We also encourage always some type of partnership or relationship with the local school district to make certain that the company gets involved with the K-12 schools and also our career techs. And that's something else that's required in this document. So, again, it levels the playing field. It also, I think, brings the community together to talk about incentives. It expedites the process, makes it easier along the way. And we do appreciate the board support and the school support along the way with the city and the county on all the incentives we've offered in the past. We hope we see more jobs and more investment as time goes on. I know Steve is here as well. I don't know, Steve, if you want to add anything as well.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you all tonight. Just to echo Eric's comments, Union County was one of the leaders in the state in trying to pull something like this together. It's a pretty massive document to try to get together and then get all those various local governments to approve and buy into that. And we were very successful back in 2006. We look forward to being just as successful with these updates. So I'd be happy to try to answer any questions, or I'm sure Eric would be happy to answer questions also.
I saw in the paper, I think Fairbanks, put on this. Have you gotten positive responses as you've made your tour of governments this time?
So here's your scorecard, a report card. I mean, that sounds better. I'm in a school. So we have 14 entities that we have to get approvals from. And so we're halfway there almost. So we have John Alder, Fairbanks, both approved it. City of Marysville, Jerome Township, Mill Creek Township, and the village of Richwood. That's where we are. We still have to go to North Union, and we still have to go to the townships. The county prefers to be the last one to make certain everyone is working together, and so the county would be the last entity we would go to. So that's where we are. So what we have, if I can count correctly, we're up to six. You'll be number seven, so you'd be halfway there. You're thinking about that song right now. We're halfway there. So
by adding these additional players in it, I mean, what kind of an impact does that have on, I guess, what you can offer businesses coming in, or, you know, what impact does that have on just this whole agreement, I guess?
You know, I don't know that it necessarily, by adding the additional partners, the benefit of that, I think it just shows greater unanimity where we're more people, more local governments are buying into that. And the wonderful thing about this EDIP is it provides surety. When Eric's out talking with businesses, he can speak with a firm voice and say, this is what you qualify for, as opposed to trying to negotiate with that business and then going to the school district, maybe the city and the county to have to say, yeah, we're okay with that, or one of them says, no, we're not okay, and two of them say, yes, we are okay. So it makes the response much faster, because Eric can respond, because everybody has laid out the rules of the road ahead of time, and as long as that company lives within those rules of the road, Eric can make that deal.
And part of adding the jurisdictions is this cleanup, because they were all part of the enterprise zone originally. We just didn't add them in 06.
Okay.
So now we think we can go back and add them and go through that process. Now, Mill Creek and Jerome were added about 3 years ago. We added them to the enterprise zone. The reason why is because of the 33 corridor and its importance and seeing the growth and development down into the southeast. We wanted to be able to offer some type of incentive to the companies we'd like to see. And so that was the reason of that, reason for that. Now, keep in mind, this is only a guide. It still would come, if they go above 75% or 10 years, it still has to come to the school board for approval. still has to go to the city of Marysville. The mayor, city of Marysville could say no on a tax abatement. They still mm-hmm. could, even with this guy. We hope that doesn't happen, but if something comes up during the process, you still have the ability to deny this through this. This is only a guide that we show the company. I talked to a company yesterday, and when we talk to companies, we ask three questions. We want to know investment levels. We want to know number of jobs and payroll. Those are the three questions we ask the company. And then from that, we can go to the incentive policy, and it'll tell us what incentives they qualify for. And that's really what makes it easy. And we provide them the documents, and we're all open, and you know, they know where our incentives are. And we are much more conservative than other communities. Like I said, a lot of them offer 15-year 100% right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Met with a developer today and say, well, these other communities, they're offering 15-year 100%. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, we're at 75% 10 years. That's how mm-hmm. we're conservative in how we look at this, and which is good. We're protecting the taxpayer. We're protecting the different jurisdictions that collect the taxes as well.
Okay.
Sue and I attended the Community Investment Corporation Chamber Board Joint Meeting, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if your name and others, groups, people that were there. And one of the themes that I came away with was the theme of cooperation. Sitting in that room, you had people from the city, from the county, from townships all over in the county, from school districts and so forth. And people from Columbus were coming up, people that are engaged in business and economic development. I think every single one of them said that the level of cooperation that exists between the governments in this particular community is unique and speaks, I think, well to the character of the people that are in this county.
Yeah, I think that's a very true statement. I know from my almost 30 years in local government, I've had occasion to talk to a lot of other local government folks throughout the state, and they're amazed when they hear about the level of cooperation and partnerships that we have here in Union County, not only between not only public partnerships, but also public-private partnerships.
Mm-hmm. And I think also when you can sit down away from a particular situation and say, what are the general guidelines that would benefit all of us, the city, the county, the township, the school districts, and so forth, and come up with, as you pointed out, some general guidelines, then you start with a point of agreement rather than points of disagreement. And that has to be helpful in terms of recruiting jobs, bringing investment into this area.
There's not too many counties in the state of Ohio where the county commissioner has a personal relationship with your school superintendent, with some of the board members, where they can call each other up on any issue, same as an economic development director calling and knowing all the superintendents. I would argue this county, this is my fifth community, tomorrow is my 15th year anniversary being here in this community, working for this community. And I will say that I've been in five communities, never seen a community that actually works together. And it goes beyond just government. It goes to the businesses that are at the table to make things happen. And that's what's remarkable about this community. Everyone really, really, you know, we're giving, I guess, although props to us, but then again, we do something right here, and it's a good thing. I guess we need to celebrate those once in a while.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for coming and sharing that information. And, we'll be voting on the resolution later.
Right? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for the treasurer's
report.
That's all
for you. Okay. Board president's report. Just wanted to, our community coffee started up again. I know last Saturday, Mr. Pleasant and Mr. Luke covered the coffee and sent a nice summary. Really appreciated that. I didn't know if you had any comments that you wanted to share from the coffee or not.
Well, does everybody know what the coffee is? It's once a month. Yes. Where two of us usually mm-hmm. meet with anybody from the community who wants to just talk about what's going on in the district. And I think they've been useful. I've been to three now. I'd mm-hmm. like to continue it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice. I think it gives people another opportunity to discuss anything they want to discuss, I guess. Okay. Go ahead, Ed. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm the keeper of the calendar. So, here's our, and I'll bring this every time. So number one, if you want to just check to make sure this is the date we have, if you want to sign up. June and July, I think we'll kind of decide whether we want to go ahead and do that. But right now, I've got up to June. Okay. If anybody wants to take a look, make sure that what I have is accurate there. If you want to sign up, anything else. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next copy will be March 12th and April 9th so far, and I think you have another date on there, but those are the two that I have, March 12th and April 9th, and they're held at the 5th Street Cafe on 5th Street in Marysville from 9 to 10 in the morning. Other thing, I noticed our calendar of opportunities to be involved is really starting to fill up. Creekview has their second trimester RISE rally coming up on Friday, February 26th, and there will be one rally at 9:30 in the morning, one at 1:45 in the afternoon. One's for 5th grade, the other is for 6th grade. Navin Book Fair, we received an email invitation to be guest readers any day between March 1st and March 10th during their lunchtime, which is 10:45 to 12:45. Again, that's Navin. And if you can always email me if you need a refresher of who the contacts are, you can't find your email. OSBA has a management development series that I thought was interesting. I think it's a 3-series event. The first one is going to be on March 3rd, and they're going to be talking about pay for performance, which is it's something that's out there right now. And I think the person, the gentleman presenting is the same gentleman that Diane and Todd and I went and heard last year, I think. And then we have a strategic compensation committee, and that gentleman came in and addressed that committee as well. So I think it's just kind of good to hear some of the things that are going on out there. Let's see. We have the OSBA Legislative Conference on March 16th. I know Mr. Smith is going. That's good. I may go. The FFA banquet is on March 12th. And then I also noticed the Central Region OSBA Spring Conference is March 9th, and so I know, Brian, you were on that committee. Are you planning to attend that?
Yes.
If any other board members would like to go, it's March 9th.
I wish I could give you more details right now, but I'll forward it to the group.
Okay.
And get them.
Okay, great.
If anybody else wants to go on that.
If it's at, like, Villa Milano, I think, at 5 o'clock for kind of a whatever, social hour, and then I think the program starts at 6 and goes to 8:30 at night. The Creekview Business Fair that Mrs. Latham spoke about is going to be on March 18th. And then another thing I wanted to bring up is the Chamber of Commerce annual dinner is April 21st, and currently that is our April board meeting date. So I would like to consider changing our April board meeting either the week before or the week after, so the, either the 14th or the 28th. And so if you want to be checking your calendars, and I'll send out an email and see what the interest level is, if people are able to make that change. So I would like to support our Chamber of Commerce if possible. And then I know another email that came out that I just would like to remind everybody about. I think this is really exciting. And it's another showcase of partnerships that we have in our district is these STEM speaker series and design challenges that are going on at our early college high school. And the STEM, in this instance, stands for student, teacher, educator, and mentor. And they're bringing in speakers from different businesses and OU's medical college is bringing in some speakers. And on the speaker series, they do it at lunch times. And I know the next one is March 2nd, so that's coming up pretty quickly. But, again, we did receive an email on this. The design challenges are held in the morning. Next one is March 3rd, early in the morning. But I think one that if we could all make it, I think it would be great. But they're going to have their design showcase on May 4th from 10 to noon. And Janelle Chapman is the guidance counselor at the Early College High School, and she's the contact for this. So, again, I think that would be pretty interesting. Then I know just a brief update on our supplementals materials policy. Just want to let you know that the committee is going to be reviewing that policy, so if you have any questions or comments, you can contact Mr. Langhouse. I also wanted to point out that our board policies are available through boarddocs.com, but I know I had one person tell me that they had a hard time finding them, so we're looking at, maybe adding some other ways to get to those policies. You can get to them from the board's page of the district website. In the middle, there's a section that says agenda, minutes, policies. But still, it's a little bit difficult if you're not familiar. So I'm going to see if we can make that a little easier. Let's see. I think that's all I have. Sorry. So the High Point report, we will be voting on a resolution later, soon, hopefully, in our agenda to approve a replacement for Kevin Decco. But before we get to that, I also wanted to comment, I read this in the paper, but we did have some Marysville students from High Point who placed at the recent HOSA State Leadership Conference, HOSA standing for Health Occupation Students of America. We had Paige Butler was part of the first place Health Occupation Students of America Bowl team. And then other students placing were Alexa Arms. She placed first in clinical nursing. Shelby Collins placed second in clinical nursing. And Gabriella Livingston placed first in medical law and ethics. So we wanted to congratulate them. And then I know Mr. Smith was able to attend the all boards banquet. And I had talked to the president of the board at High Point, and she informed me that you were served filet mignon, green beans, twice baked potatoes, and creme brulee. So I think it was a sounds like another delicious dinner and an interesting program.
And I forget her name, but she's a Marysville student who was responsible. She worked in the culinary arts, and she was responsible for the floor. We had a nice talk. She's excited about the opportunities to take what she has learned at High Point and turn that into a business, opening up a restaurant.
Great. That's great. All right. Next up, we have the safety report. And as Mrs. Powers is not here this evening, she has invited Holly Swizek to present to the board.
Thank
you,
Superintendent
Mankins, welcome,
members of the board. I appreciate your time.
I'll switch it around. I'm
pleased to be here this evening. Again, I'm Holly Swizek. I work with the Mental Health and Recovery Board of Union County, but I also have the pleasure of serving as the coordinator of the Union County Drug Free Coalition. And I also have the pleasure of working with Donna Polinas, who serves as our coalition chair, and Amy Powers, who sits on the coalition as well. Tonight, I'm here to present to you a new initiative that our coalition is working on called Above the Influence. Above the Influence is a peer-led prevention awareness program, which is nationwide, and it is in its pilot stage here in partnership with Marysville School District. Similar to other prevention initiatives we've done at the district, we're pleased to roll that out in partnership with your school buildings. The Above the Influence campaign, again, increases the awareness among peers about the negative effects of alcohol, drugs, stress, bullying, and other negative impacts in the community, and encourages young people to speak to one another about ways that they can stay positive and remain drug-free. As part of this partnership, we worked with students from Marysville High School and Marysville STEM School to take their images and positive messages and share that with their younger peers. During this process, we created posters as a first round of this awareness campaign and used those images and messages in a way that we can share with their younger peers at the Bunsell Middle School and at Creekview Intermediate School, as well as out in the community. We have some of those students here tonight. 18 students participated in the initiative. 10 posters will be rolled out initially, and we'll roll the rest of those out in the next few months. One of the things that we know about our younger teens and preteens is that they look very favorably upon the actions of their older role models in high school. And they tell us that in our listening sessions with them, and also we see that in their actions and in their reports for our Youth Risk Behavior Survey, too. So we want to make sure that our young students in this district particularly understand and know that they have role models that they can look up to, and that the majority of the students at the high school level are making really positive choices, that they're active and they're healthy and they're remaining drug-free, and that's a message we want to make sure that they see on a regular basis. I invited Mr. Williams, Sean Williams, here tonight from the high school. Sean has been an excellent partner in helping to get this project underway and has helped us select students. It's a very difficult task to select students among such a strong group of young leaders, and so he was instrumental in choosing young adults who are showing leadership qualities and characteristics that are really exemplary and that we are grateful for. So I'm going to ask him to call the students that are here forward and show those images.
Thank you. One thing I want to say before I call these fine young people up is that the best thing about these kids is they didn't do this to get on a college resume or to for personal gain. I know these kids, and they did it because it was the right thing to do. They believe strongly in these things, and they're great people, and they did it not for the poster or the recognition, but simply because it's the right thing to do. And I just respect that attitude so much. It's what we talk about a lot in Leadership Academy, selfless service, and I'm very proud of all of them. We did have some of the people that are on the posters had a limited amount of time and had to get to show choir practice, so I apologize for not fitting in the exact right time category, but I do appreciate them making the effort to come over too, and I will get their posters to them. So I'm going to call them up and hand them their poster. We don't have posters for everybody that is here yet. Some of them are in the second wave, but all of these people are going to be on posters. Cassie Nichols. Jen Patterson. Kayla Gordon. Shay Leeper is also here, and her poster is not completed yet, but I'm going to have her hold a poster anyway. One thing that I want to also mention, Shay's having a pretty good night. Tonight she was informed that she is the newly elected FFA, Marysville FFA chapter president. So she just wanted to have her congratulations.
So that's her. We want to see what they say.
These are things that they wrote. We've talked
about this a couple of times.
Yes. Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. I've been very excited. I think it's a great idea. And thank you so much, all of you.
These are your personal belief statement or whatever, right?
Correct.
That makes it even better. Also, Bunsell Middle School, as part of the Youth Youth Initiative, during Wellness Week at the beginning of the school year, they had an opportunity to talk about substance use. And the kids there got an opportunity to color in those above the influence little symbols at the top, those little circles with the arrow in them. And so each of those posters have a different symbol that's colored in by a Bunsell student, too. So kids at the school will be able to see a part of that image, too, so we combine those together. It was a nice touch. So again, I want to thank all the students who participated in that and Mr. Williams, too. Before he sneaks off, however, I've asked Jonathan to recognize him for his efforts as well, too.
Yes, we just wanted to take a moment this evening on behalf of the Union County Coalition to recognize Sean Williams at Marysville High School for his ongoing support and collaboration, especially with the Start Talking and Above the Influence campaign. Again, he really cares about kids, and he really takes pride in their growth and development. And again, we can't thank Sean enough for his support, his logistical work in the high school and getting things done, especially with the Start Talking and Above the Influence campaign. So we wanted to present Sean on behalf of the Union County Drug-Free Coalition the 2016 Community Champion Award for support of positive youth development in collaboration with the Union County Drug-Free Coalition. Congratulations, Sean. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, students. We're so proud of you.
Guys are the ones doing the hard work. The ones making the good decisions.
I know. You're making a difference for the whole community, so we really appreciate it.
I don't like that. Yeah. Yes. Then we're good.
We're working out some details. We may have some of them come over when we put some of those around in the building.
That's wonderful.
So we appreciate all their effort and flexibility on being here tonight and doing this as well. So thank you.
I'd just like to point out how many females are standing out here.
Could you pass on to the show choir people that we really appreciate there?
Oh, yeah.
I definitely will do that.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
I can see those.
They yeah. turned out great.
They did.
You guys really look like yourselves.
I'll point out, too, that Kyle Beecher, a graduate of Marysville, was our photographer for the day, too, so he was part of this, too.
Great.
Right. Good job. Well done.
Thank you again. Thank you so much. And now, I'm sorry, I will go back to the legislative report. I apologize for skipping you down there, Mr. Smith. It was not intentional.
For the legislative report, I had two one-hour phone calls with Senator Burke and talked about the cost of the College Credit Plus program to our school district, which we budgeted about $250,000 this year. Somewhere just over $200,000, so we're inside the budget, so hopefully I didn't see that number right here. But Dawn Burns helped pull together some information, the guidance department helped pull together some information that allowed me to present to the senator the course offerings that we have, so he was able to see the breadth of what we've done, our commitment to the College Credit Plus program. And after he had a chance to look at everything and talk about it, he really understood that we have money that is going to colleges and universities, and that you know, my suggestion was to try to find a way to reverse that to the school districts so that taxpayers in our community are getting what they in fact actually voted for. They voted to support secondary education. When a student takes a college credit plus course, they get a secondary credit. They also get a college credit, and up until this year, we were able to pass on the additional cost for the college and university. State law was passed, we were only able to do that, and so that's taking money away that would go other places potentially. So, talk to him about that, talk to him about money that, as the treasurer indicated, that we're losing to charter schools. We're somewhere generally in the neighborhood of $900,000 or up from that on an annual basis, and he expressed concern about charter schools and agreed that looking at different funding options and taking a step back and looking at what was being accomplished was probably a good and appropriate thing to do. So on both of those issues, he said he was going to check with the Department of Education, try to get some more information statewide as to what was going on, and we discussed meeting in March at the legislative conference. Was agreeable to that. In the state legislature, there are a number of different bills that are currently in some step of process through there. House Bill 112, I think we all got an email on, that would require us to make another change in terms of the document assessments and take us to Iowa or Massachusetts tests that are 7 years old that in both of those states have been replaced with other tests and so forth. House Bill 399, I thought was interesting from the standpoint that kind of spoke to the College Plus, College Credit Plus program. The state provided this past biennium $500,000 for homeschool students to pay their part of the tuition cost the college credit plus, and they want to increase that amount to $1.5 million. I sent an email to Senator Burke and said, hey, why don't you look at this, because we were talking about fairness to local taxpayers, and the state is providing money to homeschool students, and we're having to fund it locally. That may not be fair. House Bill 420 deals with students who opt out of state testing, and some of that legislation has been placed on hold as the State Department of Education has already taken steps to address that, so hopefully that issue will all be worked out. House Bill 425 touches or addresses religious expression of students, and it would prohibit schools from restricting religious expression. As I've looked at that, it seems to be connected maybe into student answers and responses to questions and that kind of thing. So I'm not sure exactly where that will end up, but that's being looked at. House Bill 441 and 445, and I'm not sure exactly where this came from or what prompted this, but permits a student enrolled in a non-public school to participate in interscholastic activities at a school district that is not the student's residence district under certain circumstances, and prohibit a student from participating in the College Credit Plus program and being denied the opportunity to participate in interscholastic sports. Like I said, I'm not sure exactly what situation prompted that, but seem to have some maybe potential with it in the past. There are a variety of other topics, firearms on school property that we brought up, cursive writing, other things that have been in the news. There are two or three different legislative actions that have been proposed that are looking at charter school supervision and reform, moving toward greater accountability and so forth. So that's my report.
Thank you. Very thorough.
Are they in bills?
Yes, they are in bills, but they have been submitted, but there's no committee action at this time that I could find on some of those. But firearms on school property, cursive writing, depending on what happens in the state legislature, those are things that could impact our districts.
Thank you. Let's see. Next up, I need a motion to approve our minutes from the prior meeting.
So moved.
By Mr. Pleasant. I'll second that. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next, we have a resolution to approve Ohio High Point Board Member Representative Doug Shivington to complete the 3-year unexpired term of Kevin Decco. This term would expire on December 31st of 2016. Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Pleasant. This time I would like to, we'll wait till, why don't you go ahead and stand up and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, great. Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here tonight. My name is Doug Shivington, and I'm a 32-year employee of Honda on the Marysville campus. Mm-hmm. And currently, my family, we live in Bell Fountain, within eyesight of the Ohio High Point. Mm-hmm. My stepdaughter is a graduate of High Point in the nursing mm-hmm. program, and now is working at the hospital in Bell Fountain as a phlebotomist. And so we've really appreciated that learning education from from that institution. So very, very helpful with her career development. Mm-hmm. A little bit about me. With 32 years, I spent 12 years in manufacturing and then the last 20 years in HR. And so primarily in the talent management field, recruiting engineers, maintenance people. I'm a past president of the Ohio Cooperative Education Association. Yes. And that's a consortium of all the colleges and universities in the state of Ohio, two-year and four-year. And we support real-life work learning in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still a member of that. Also, a past president of the West Central Ohio Industrial Roundtable. So four counties, industrial representation in West Central Ohio. And so today I had the opportunity to lead a team of people that we primarily provide acquisition support for our contingent workforce. So we help manage the ADECO site here on Coleman, mm-hmm. Coleman Crossing. And so we have about 2,000 contingent associates working on the Honda campus in Sydney and East Liberty and Marysville. And so we help manage that transaction. Then also our team helps with the full-time production hiring within all of our three plants. And so we have that opportunity to provide that service for our community. Also, the former Mayor John Gore. Our team had an initiative to help with trying to place Union County applicants at Honda. And so we've been working with him and his team, and still today, the last couple of years, and we've been trying to place not only Union County, but local counties at work at Honda. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate the opportunity, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer that.
It certainly seems like you're very well qualified.
I really appreciate your willingness.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Thank you. On behalf of Kevin Decco, he does send his best regards, and mm-hmm. He is down in 70-degree weather in Celaya, Mexico, and mm-hmm. kind of roughing it out down there. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, if at any time you would like to visit any of our schools, too,
sure.
You know, and maybe talk about some of the satellite programs that we have here in Marysville with High Point.
Oh, great.
I think that that'd be great, but sure. We haven't voted yet, but...
Sure.
Assuming that the vote goes the way I think it will. Okay. I think we're really looking forward to having you represent us. So.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
Thank you.
So, hate to jump the wagon here, but how about a roll call?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, now I can officially say thank you very much and welcome to, I guess, a part of the Marysville Board.
So,
and I think I had told you that next Wednesday is the High Point Board meeting, so you'll be on their agenda to accept as a new board member. So, great. Thank you. Next up, we have need a motion to approve the resolution to appoint Lydia Romine, a Marysville High School student, as a student volunteer to the City Parks and Recreation Committee.
So
motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Would you like to... I was approached.
We had a member of the high school serve on that committee for several years. Evidently, with new leadership, they've discovered that we have to actually make a recommendation, approve that person. So, really, it's something we've been doing for quite some time, and we're just trying to meet their needs
right. As
far as making a formal recommendation to them. So,
and this intern, like I said, they like it to be a two-year term so that they, have that first year kind of learn the ropes, and then the second year they can maybe participate a little bit more, but they work on their five-year forecast for the Parks and Recreation Committee. And so it's, I think it's a great partnership and a great opportunity for our students to be involved at a real job level. So let's see, how about a roll call?
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve all the treasure items. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
I don't really have anything other new to add. Just, note that the EDIP revision is in there. Other action items are pretty much the usual. So unless there's any other questions.
Okay. No questions. All right. Roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant. I'll second that.
On the HR side, pretty typical, nothing major. We have, you may have a question about the stipend for curriculum development. If you remember back to Chris's presentation, we're part of a group of Central Ohio schools creating blended content, and that's a teacher that's participating in that group. We also have a retirement of one of our Mill Valley cooks, so we certainly appreciate her service as well. We also have quite a list of volunteers, and we also have second read for different policies that we discussed last month as well.
Any questions or comments?
Just again, that the policy changes are primarily driven by two things. One, clarification, mm-hmm. Simplification, and second thing, state law.
Okay. And I will, and it is exciting to see one of our staff members working on that blended learning curriculum. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Great. Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. And finally, comments and questions from board members. We'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
Enjoyed going to the all boards dinner. Learned Dr. Smith's vision for the direction of the High Point. They've got some exciting things that are going to be happening and going on up there. So far, we've missed most of the bad weather. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, that will continue.
You just jinxed it.
It's going to be 50 tomorrow, right? Mr. Luke?
I wanted to thank the creepy people and all the presenters. I know most of them have left, but it's really great to hear some of the things going on in the district. Lots of exciting and good things. Just wanted to say that, and that's it.
Okay.
Doug, again, we appreciate you taking the opportunity. We appreciate all the time you've been with us. Sean, again, appreciate the presentation with the high school. And Tim has left, I guess. Appreciate the quick view. So, thank you.
Okay.
Nothing to add?
Nothing?
I just wanted to mention, too, Sean, certainly appreciate your group, your work with that leadership group. I had the opportunity to talk to them once this school year, but certainly a passion of yours, and it's fun to have the opportunity to take a step out of your normal day, I know, and spend with students like that, and you do a great job of that. So I appreciate that you do that. I also wanted to wish the winter sports teams good luck. I think basketball is that tomorrow night? Yes, tomorrow night. And wrestling is Saturday. So they're starting to kick off. And the girls, I don't have written down.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't know.
Right.
I didn't have it on my calendar at all. So certainly best of luck to the remaining teams. And the last thing I would just say, I appreciate you certainly recognizing Joanne. And there are people in your organization and that you work with. And, you know, people come and go for different reasons. And the legacies many of them leave behind is amazing. And mm-hmm. Joanne is one of those people from Marysville. Certainly the summer program where she was feeding mm-hmm. students who did not have the opportunity for warm meals at home in the summertime, and the list goes on and on. Right. So you don't meet people like that every day, and it's just another one of those reminders. I think I sent it in the staff email to continue to count your blessings. People like that don't come around every day. So thank you.
Thank you. I just want to piggyback a little bit on the extracurriculars, because I know there have been some new records set, girls basketball, swimming, and I think our bowling and gymnastics programs have really had successful years, and that's, you know, I think we have some really good volunteers that have helped get some of those programs off the ground, and I appreciate having opportunities for a variety of students. Wanted to, again, I will follow up with you too. Thank you, Doug. Congratulations, Sean. I hate to sound like a puppet or whatever, repeating everybody, but we're really grateful for all the work that you've done. So thank you to Creekview, and that's all I have to say. So how about a motion for adjournment? Motion by Mr. Pleasant. Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Meeting is adjourned.